Welcome to A Wonderful World podcast. I'm your host, David Hudson, and today is all about leadership. And each week we will have a leadership podcast and talk about the importance of leadership. I have been privileged to be a leader and a coach and speaker certified by the John Maxwell team. And I've had the privilege of being a pastor for the last 20 years. So leadership, I know the value of it and how important it is to one's life. And so I believe setting aside a time each week just to discuss some principles of leadership will help you grow. But I don't want them to be just principles in a academic sense. I want them to be in a very practical sense. And so each week we'll emphasize someone who has been a leader throughout history, maybe in the past or currently. And we'll talk about what leadership skills they have and get to know them as a normal individual, but then also give you some principles that maybe you can take and apply in your daily life. So I'm excited today to begin this session, this podcast on leadership and talking about it. So just jump in with me. So what I want to do, first of all, is I want to talk about a leader who has inspired me and inspired others. And talk a little bit about his life, and maybe you can find yourself in a little bit of that. The more you look around at people, the more you discover the changes they make in your life. So find people and find the things people say. So just a little hint before we get into this. One thing that was taught to me a couple years ago that I have been doing for the last 2 years that has influenced me more than anything else is I have been taking notes. And by that, I mean not long notes, but usually it's like a quote or a thought that somebody, maybe I'm listening to something. Give you, for instance, yesterday I was listening to a podcast as I was running, and the individual said something that triggered my mind. And so I stopped and took out my phone, put in the quote, and then the thought that I had behind that quote. And I know that's going to be an influence, and I'm going to go back over and over again to that. So that's just an encouraging help, because there's a lot of things we hear that we're like, oh, that's good, and then we get too busy and we forget all about them. And so that is just a practical way to help you develop some of your leadership skills. So here's what I want to do right now. I want to talk to you about a leader and deal with a certain part of his life that maybe is going to help some of you. And I know it's helped me tremendously, but there is a you know this leader, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill is remembered as one of the greatest leaders in modern history. He truly saved a democracy during World War II, and the impact he had leading Britain and the Allied powers when they were coming against the Nazis. And so led him to be one of the greatest leaders of the 20th century. He was born in a very aristocratic family, 1874, served in the British military. Churchill became prime minister in 1940, so during the height of the Civil War, look at grief, World War. and maybe I had the 18-something on my brain. But he became a leader during the Second World War. He's remembered for persistence, and one of his great quotes, and let's talk about his persistence for just a second. Someone who faced so many obstacles that he could have easily given up, but he did not. And that's what it's going to take to be a practical leader. You're going to have to determine not to give up, not to quit. And I'm going to give you this famous quote by Churchill. It said, never give in, never give in, never, 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 never. And nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. And he lived by that. And because he lived by that, it was exactly what helped so many people move forward. And so Churchill had just this incredible ability to lead people and to not give up himself. And I want to encourage you in your persistence, but I want to share one thing with you that a lot of people may not know about Churchill that is going to help you practically. I'm reading from an article here from inspiringleadershipnow.com. It said, Churchill's inspirational leadership is especially notable when you consider his bitter struggle with depression. the so-called black dog of his existence. So Churchill struggled very much with depression. And you can imagine the weight. Now, understand this to every leader that is listening. And when I say a leader that is listening, you could be the leader of a company. You could be the leader of an organization. You could be the leader at your home. You may be the leader on whatever job you are, a leader on a team. There's a lot of different leadership positions. But when you have a leadership position, there comes a lot of pressure. And with that pressure is an easy way to fall into depression. And with everything that Churchill faced, guarantee you that depression raised its head because of that. Reading back from the article, it says, in fact, historians attribute many of Churchill's successes to his ability to use his manic depression and bipolar personality to his advantage. These are just some of the reasons that make him truly special. So battling that manic depression. So just on a personal note, a couple years ago, I personally struggled with some depression. And going through that time of depression was very heartrending and very difficult. I grew very paranoid about what people were thinking, what people were saying, what everything that was going on around me. And some of it was real, but some of it was just my mind. It just made it up. And I had to learn really this lesson from Churchill, how to persevere through that. And I'm thankful that I've gotten through that. There are times where I feel back into that, but just know if you're a leader, there's going to come these times. Thankfully, I read scripture in scripture in the Psalms. David says, why are you cast down? Why are you so disquieted? Basically, David, I believe, from those scriptures, was struggling with depression himself because he had faced some things that really were trying for him. And so he's saying, yeah, those are struggles that I have. And so every person is going to struggle with those. But as he says at the end of that, hope in God. Put your hope in something higher than you. Understand that you're going to come through this. And how long that takes, who knows. But you're going to come through and surround yourself with the things of God, also the good people that are going to help you and build you up. And so just a challenge today in a very practical sense about leadership, because if we're going to make a wonderful world, we're going to struggle with some things and we're going to have to overcome. And you can do that. So I want to share with you just real quickly today, and this is a shorter podcast. These are not meant to be long. They're just meant to be a quick challenge. I want to share with you just a short little video or clips from a video, if you will, of John Maxwell. He's actually speaking at the Chick-fil-A corporate event, and he's given the five levels of leadership. And I want you to do this as we're talking through these. I want you to ask yourself, which level are you at? And I don't want you to beat yourself up or put yourself up too high. I want you just to take this in a practical sense of leadership. So let's listen to John Maxwell and what he talks about these leadership levels, and let me give you a takeaway from every one of these.
At level number one, this is where we all start. We all start with a title. We all start with a job description. We all start with a position. People at level number one follow you because they have to. In other words, you're the boss. The downside of level number one is the people who follow you will give you the least amount of their energy and effort. People don't like to have to follow people because they have to follow people.
All right. So leadership level one is position. And just imagine you're in a restaurant, fast food place, 9 o'clock at night, something's not right with your order, you ask to speak to the manager, 18-year-old kid comes out, a young man, young lady comes out, and you're like, really, you're the manager? No, as an adult, that's very cynical. Now, they may be a great employee, and they may have got that position because they worked hard. But you'll notice the other employees, maybe all the other employees are 17, 18, and they're kind of goofing off. And the reason is because this person is in a position. They don't really have a lot of authority. People are just doing what they say because they have to. But understand something, and this is the takeaway from this. The bottom rung of the ladder, the leadership ladder, is not the top. But without the bottom rung, you'll never get to the top rung. So you have to start somewhere. And so don't disparage. If you're at the bottom rung of this ladder and you're just in a position, that's okay. You're on your way to the top, but you got to start where you start. So that's leadership level one in that position.
Level number two is the permission level. People now begin to follow you because they want to. Now, what happened between levels one and two? You've connected with your people. They're not following you just because you are a supervisor. They're following you because you are a supervisor that people like. The leader on level two, they have three things that they do extremely well to be a relational leader. One is they listen well. Secondly, they observe. They're conscious about where their people are and what their people are doing. And thirdly, they're learning. And then in the process of listening, observing, and learning, they have an attitude of servanthood.
Okay, so leadership level two is permission. Permission. I cannot overemphasize the importance of likability in a leader. I don't know why some people think likability in a leader is weakness. It's almost like some people have decided that to be a leader, you have to be gruff and mean and nobody's supposed to like you. And that's just not reality. Because if people don't like you, you're really actually in position. You're not in permission. This leadership level two of permission, people are going to like you. Now, they may not always like the decisions you make, and you're not always going to be popular. And by the way, I'm not saying you're trying to people please. But because you have an attitude of servanthood, as John ended there, people are going to like you. And the three things about that, listening, observing, and learning, oh, they're so critical. Just briefly, I remember years ago, I had come back from a marriage conference, and the guy speaking said, you really just need to listen to your wife. And I know, men, we have a thing, people say, you don't listen. And we have selective hearing. I know we've heard that before. And so he said, just listen to your wife. Don't think about what you're going to say. Don't think about what you're going to respond. Just think about what she's saying and let that soak in. And so Susan and I used to go to Zaxby's every Monday for lunch. And so this particular Monday, I determined that's what I was going to do. I had a couple questions I was going to lead in with, and I was just going to let her talk. And we sat there at the table, and for about 30 minutes, we talked. And I said nothing, which is unusual because usually I'm the one doing the talking. That's the reason I have the podcast. I talk quite a bit. But she talked and I just listened and we got done and she said, this is one of the best conversations we've ever had. And it made me laugh, but I realized something. The guy was right. People just need you to listen to them. And if you're a listener and you're an observer and you're a learner, that's going to make a huge difference in this permission. So the takeaway from permission level is how you treat people will determine how much those people trust you. If you treat people well, they're going to trust you well. So that's leadership level two, permission.
The third level is the production level. At this level, you become effective as a leader because you produce. And at level number three, your leadership begins to gain credibility because now you are fleshing out for the people around you things that they want to see.
Okay, so this was a short one, but it's powerful. Production. So position, permission, now we're moving into production in this level. And this is where you're actually producing. It doesn't. People want to follow people that are producing. They'll do what they have to position, and they may like you in the permission level. But this is where you're going to move them to, you're going to move the people that are following you into another level because of production. They're going to see you doing what you should be doing. The jerseys that sell the most in the NBA are the ones that produce. The ones that produce the most points, the ones that produce a lot of different areas. If people are going to find a mentor for a mechanic or an electrician, they're going to find the ones that are producing. They're not going to go to the mechanic shop where they've only had one car in the past week. They're going to go to the one where they've had several cars in the past week and they've put those out and they've done it quickly. They've done it well and people are giving them good ratings. When you produce, people see that. And so we have to produce. You've heard the old saying, this is the takeaway for this, actions speak louder than words. You've heard that saying, but let me add this. When the two are in agreement, it is powerful. Yeah, actions speak louder than words, but when you can get the two in agreement, that is powerful. When what you're speaking and what you're saying is actually matching what you're doing, people want to follow that. And that's that leadership level three of production.
Level number four is the people development level. The most appreciable asset you have in any organization is the people of that organization. Three thoughts on developing people. Number one is the key to developing leaders and the key to developing good people is in recruitment. 80% of your success of equipping people to be successful is in the front door on who you bring in. Recruitment is key. Number two is positioning. The ability not only to bring the right person in the right in the front door, but also to put him in the right place, as Collins would say, get him on the bus, get him on the right seat. Successful people have discovered what they're good at. Successful leaders discover what other people are good at. At level number four, you recruit well, you position well, and then you equip well. And I use a very simple five-step equipping process. The first step is I do it. Step two is I do it and you're with me. I take you with me. Now we're going to spend time together. I'm going to be your mentor. Now on step three, you do it. You do it and I'm with you. Step four is you do it. You don't need me anymore. You know how to do it. You do it and you do it well. Step five is you do it and somebody's with you. You've never really trained and equipped somebody until they can multiply themselves. That's level number four. The level where you develop people.
All right. Now this is the one that in the video, and I'll put the link to this in the show description. It's just a short little video. You can probably find the whole thing at another place. But this is people development. Leadership level four is people development. Positions, not so much concerned. Positions about survival. That's leadership level one. You're just trying to survive every day and get through the day. Level two, you're starting to have a relationship with people in that level two of permission. You're having a relationship with people. They're probably not going to follow you anywhere yet, but they're going to like you on the job. Production is where people are going to start noticing, and they're going to start saying, I want what they want. But leadership level four is now saying, here's how to get what you want and help you get that. And so this is where we fall most of the time, is we tend to think that people are there for us instead of us being there for them. And this is essential. He mentioned three things: recruit, position, and equip. Recruit. Find people that have the skills you need, but also have the same heart. If they don't have the same mind and the same heart and the same drive, it's never going to work. So you got to recruit the right people. And then you got to position those people in the right place. You could have somebody that's really good at something, but they're doing something completely opposite. They're doing something else in the company when they would have been much better over here. You got to find what they're good at and how to help them accomplish that, because they're going to tend to like their work more. They're going to tend to like their responsibility more, and they're going to want to do something with that later in life. And then equip, give them the necessary resources, give them the tools that they need in order to develop that. And really what he was describing there, where those five things, I do it with you, you do it with me, you do it on your own, and then you do it with someone else. As a pastor, I look at that. That's biblical discipleship. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went and got the disciples. He said, follow me. There was the recruiting. He positioned them. If you remember, he put Peter, James, and John in kind of this smaller circle. He positioned them as the leaders that they would be. But he gave them all the equipping that they would need in order, because he said, I'm going to leave here. And this is what we're doing in churches and discipleship, but it's also what we're doing in businesses and companies and a lot of different places, is we're trying to put people in the right place in the right time. So I'm going to give you this takeaway for leadership level four. You're not training people to follow. You're training people to lead. You're training people to lead. And when you start training people to lead, that's going to make a huge difference, because people shouldn't be following you. There should be multiplying out of there. And if they're just following you their whole life, we really haven't done the job we need. We need to train them to lead. Let's look at the last one.
Level number five, the pinnacle level. The pinnacle level, the key word there is respect. They follow you because of who you are, the qualities you have in your life. They follow you because of what you have done. Leadership is an always ongoing, always learning, growing process.
Okay. So that's the end of that. So let's think about this for just a second. And we said, I'm going to go back through them real quickly. Leadership level one was position. Okay, you're in the position and people have to follow. Leadership level two was permission. You became likable and people started trusting you. Leadership level three is production. you have the people liking you, and now they're seeing what you're doing, and they want to do what you're doing. And leadership level four is developing those people to now move into the areas where they are starting to become leaders. And then leadership level five is the pinnacle. Now, understand what he is saying here. He's not saying you've arrived in the sense of everything's done. No, leadership is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process, he talks about. The pinnacle doesn't mean that you quit learning. You never quit learning. You're always learning, and because you're always learning, you're always growing, and because you're always growing, you're becoming a better leader, and you're helping other people become better in their life and their own leadership. And so this is that pinnacle. So the takeaway I want you to see on this is that respect cannot be demanded. It must be earned. It must be earned. And so when we talk about leadership and how does all of those things, I want you to think in our context of a wonderful world, I want you to think about those leadership levels. If I can develop as a leader who is developing leaders, we're going to be able to have an impact on the world. Whereas if I'm just filling a position or I'm just dictating to people what they have to do and that they have to obey me, the world's not going to become a better place. As a matter of fact, it's going to become more cynical and more bitter. So we need to be developing people and helping them to grow. And so my encouragement today to you is to take away the practical understanding of what it means to be a leader and to become better with that process. So I thank you for joining me today. I want you to come back. So I have a guest that's going to be on our next podcast. Let's see, what is today? This will be coming out on the 14th of May. The next Monday, which, my goodness, I guess the 18th or so, I have a guest that's going to be on that day, and you will not want to miss that. It's going to be a very sensitive and real subject, but I think something that'll be helpful, but it's going to help it become a wonderful world. So I want you to be a part of that. So thanks again for joining me today and being part of the Wonderful World podcast, and I hope you are blessed and helped, and that you're becoming stronger. Thanks again. What a wonderful world.